Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
And a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning to you all. And no matter where you is, it is beautiful. I witnessed something this week that reminded me just to be thankful. I'd left the Whitman Plantation where the high was expected to be 110 for the day. Pulled into Prescott and somebody was complaining. It was 82 degrees and they were complaining because it was humid. Thought, you know, you're still in Arizona, we're still in America, and it's still a beautiful day. So wherever you are, dump the grump today and make it a beautiful Arizona morning and Arizona day, no matter how hot it gets. Like Rosie likes to say, dump the grump.
Amen. Dump the grump. And never admit it's hot.
No. It makes it hotter mentally.
Yeah, it's warm. It's warm. No matter what it is.
It's extra warm today.
It's just warm. Yeah.
It's going to be a hard day for me to stay focused.
It's a beautiful day out here.
It's a beautiful day. We are sitting in Prescott. We're up here for the Arizona Historic Preservation Conference, and we decided to hang out and broadcast here. We're sitting in renovations office on Knob Hill, looking out at over beautiful mountain vegetation. But this is the first time the kids have ever been to a rodeo that I have not been at. When we registered, it had said Sunday the 16th for the Kingman Rodeo, and somewhere along the way it changed to the 15th.
Oh,
and we had already made commitments to be here at this conference. So the whole crew's in Big Red heading up 93 on the way to the Kingman for a one-day rodeo at the Kingman Junior Rodeo Association. I've never not been with them since. A little distracting, y'all, to help me keep focused.
Well, good luck to all the kiddos.
Yeah. And 82 years ago today, Parker Dam got its first delivery of concrete, and it would take them nearly a year to complete the dam. 82 years ago. Hardly any power lines. No internet.
That's right.
What was the top speed of an F-150 in 1932.
I don't know an F-150, but I mean they were approaching 180 miles an hour at Indy in the 30s.
I don't think a concrete truck coming down to deliver a load at Lake Havasu at Parker Dam was going 100 miles an hour.
No.
How long do you think that trip took?
You know what, Romy, I don't know much about the construction of the Parker Dam. When I was in engineering college at ASU, we actually studied the dam at Lake Powell and how they built railroad tracks over the site. And they would fill entire railroad cars with concrete, pull over the site and drop the bottoms.
Tip it over. Bottom drops.
Just bottom drops. And they poured concrete like that for, I can't remember how long. But that concrete is still not cured.
And there's always legends and myths that there's people inside those, but they pour it at such a slow rate. It's such a big structure when they dump those concrete. I mean, they're maybe an eighth of an inch, a quarter of an inch at a time. It goes so slow, you would never not notice somebody stuck there. And
you hope
they if something had been in there, it would have caused the structure to collapse by now because of the void of air in it. So all those myths about there's people buried in the dam that died in construction, that's all.
I know.
All myth.
I know they had a few deaths, but I think it was mostly the rock climbing crews that were drilling the sides.
Excavating the side.
Yeah.
Well, we are focusing on Lake Havasu this month, as that's the destination for our staycation winter. They're going to be staying at the Nautical Beachfront Resort. It's actually a really neat place. It's part of Lake Havasu, but you get to see Lake Havasu. It's out on Pittsburgh Point, and the way it comes around Thompson's Bay, you're actually from the pool and the dock, you're looking back at Lake Havasu City and the mountain setting behind it, where most everywhere else in Lake Havasu, if you're looking out over the water, you're looking at the California side of the backdrop. You actually get to turn around and see the Arizona backdrop. And if you book your trip 15 days in advance, it's called the Early Turtle, and they honor a 25% discount on room rates, and that's good through October 31st. The Nautical Beachfront Resort, and we'll learn a little bit more about that today. We've got the mayor lined up for an interview at the end of this hour. Mayor Cal, he.
Havasu.
Lake Havasu City.
Interesting little town.
It is, and it's been fun discovering it and learning more about it as we featured it this month. We've got more about the London Bridge a little bit later today. And have you ever seen Arcadia Publishing? I know you have. It's these books that focus on connecting Americans back to hometowns and communities. There's a ton of them written on Arizona. And if you go to the Arizona room at the Barton Barr Library, they've got a collection of probably 70 or 80 different ones. Well, they've got a Tucson engineer, Jerry Cannon, that wrote the Arizona Historic Bridges, and he had a slideshow at the conference this week. Lake Havasu wasn't in it, the London Bridge. This one was focusing on Route 66, and you always hear about Route 66, Route 66, yeah. Route 66. Do you know about U.S. Route 80? It's along the southern part of the state, and it comes in near El Paso and exits near Yuma. The entire route, like 66, is no longer in place. And it made me wonder, I've got to get Lance on the research side of how do they name the freeways? Because you've got U.S. Route 80 is on the south side of the state, and U.S. 66 is on the north. But when you get the interstate system, it's like the numbers are reversed. I-10's on the south side, and the farther north you go, the higher the numbers go. So it's like the U.S. route started numbering, it seems like, on the northeast side, but when the interstate started, it started on the southwest side because you've got Coastal Route 1 and Interstate 10, and as you move farther west and farther north, the numbers increase. It's like a complete reverse of the numbering system.
We'll have to get Doug Dinsel back on the show and find out.
How do they name these freeways?
And the states may do it different than the feds. I really don't know.
And it's got a but he had a really cool slideshow of all the different bridges along 66 and 80, some that are in existence, some that aren't, some that have been restored. And a lot of times you find the old bridge they left for preservation and as a tourist attraction and built the new bridge right beside it. But that was a really fun, Gary was looking at it, he's like, go, you got to sit in on this Route 66 for me. He's got this 66 itch that he can't seem to scratch.
I have the itch, but what was throwing me off was U.S. Highway 80. It does go through Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama to the northern part of the state, and it was throwing me like, how did U.S. 80 get out here? And it wasn't until Romy told me the story, I had no idea 80 was came all the way out to the west.
And they said in the presentation that was the original ocean-to-ocean highway.
Yeah.
Wow.
So learned a lot of great things at the Arizona Historic Preservation Conference today. And the stuff that applies to all four themed hours of Rosie on the House, whether it's traveling Arizona, landscape, gardening, agriculture, the open form hour, and then the on the house hour. A lot of the structures we're going to cover over it related to commercial buildings, but it's still structures in Arizona and building related. You know, what commercial does, you often see somewhat of a replication in the residential side, and we'll have fun covering all the different aspects. You know, historical preservation, commercial or residential, isn't a big differentiation. It's just expensive.
Well, it can contain some surprises along the way.
It was interesting. The people, developers that I sat in on that were talking about, you know, the disconnect between development and preservation. One of them was a second-generation Arizonan. The other one was a fourth-generation Arizonan, had grandkids, or sixth-generation Arizonan.
Wow.
It took somebody connected to the community that prompted the preservation versus just flattening and rebuilding a new modern development.
Well, you know, a lot of times the expense on preserving an older property comes in the jurisdiction's requirement that if you complete a remodel over a certain size, then the entire property must become in compliance with the current code. So many times what starts as a, you know, turning a half bath into a full bath, maybe with a little sitting room off the side, turns into rewiring the house, fire sprinklering the house, bond beaming the house if it's a masonry home. And those are the kind of things that you've got to have somebody with a little bit of experience of historic preservation so you can set the expectations of what you're really going to have to do to get this, to get your project done. But it's always worth it.
And the funny factor that adds into that is if it's an older building and it's something you're trying to keep registered as a historic site, new building codes of today aren't what they were when the structure was built 100 years ago. So bringing it up to code and keeping the historic
satisfying both
building don't always line up. So it was a lot of fun. We enjoyed our time, and we'll be bringing you different things we learned from that, along with taking your calls throughout the hour. 8 o'clock, we've got Jay Harper in answering garden landscape questions. 9 o'clock is the open line hour. We've got Dave Barrett coming by. We've been talking energy all month long, and we're talking about propane's role in Arizona as an energy source. And 10 o'clock, Tom Riley of Renovations will join us in talking about sustainability and how building science can reduce our demand on the grid system. That's all here at Rosie on the House. Thanks for joining us.